Hello and welcome to For the Love of Truth. This is episode 233 and is another in the Back to Hell series. Today, I'm really pleased that we have Alex back on the show. And you may remember recently that we had Alex on and he was telling his story about type 1 diabetes. Alex wanted to come back and talk more about his story. And during the course of the conversation, we talked about the fact that he didn't just change his diet, that he focused on eliminating acidity from the body and how that came out through his eyes and his legs, how he notices he puts weight on when he gets sick and he wonders what he is hanging on to, how he learned how to meditate and breathe properly. We discussed trauma and emotion being the root cause of disease, how to find the right therapy and the right therapist, and we also touched on distilled water and the current health crisis that the world is facing. And if you have a story relating to health that you'd like to share, then I'd like to talk to you. The best way to reach me is to go to fortheloveoftruth.co.uk and complete the web form there so that we can start a dialogue. And you guys are absolutely amazing, and I'm looking forward to speaking to you in the next episode. Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye. Good to see you, mate.
And you. No, I was just saying, I really enjoyed Claudia's podcast and Dr. Jerry, the information that was coming across with regards to the voltage.
Yes, that was really interesting, isn't it?
Unbelievable. And when you're putting all these things together, I was trying to make some sort of like notes, and what was really becoming apparent was that every one of these people that you're speaking to go on the same sort of journey in a different way.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've wanted to sort of like mention is sort of like obviously looking at what we discussed previously with regards to my situation and type 1 diabetes.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have said that there was a couple of things that would have been good for other people to maybe have an understanding because it wasn't just, say, attitude towards what was happening, or you know, the situation arose and the mind's, you know, the way of thinking about how I went about what I did. But also it was the support factors and the other elements that come into play that are going to help you through your journey. And my point is whenever I speak to people about diabetes, they will just turn around and say, "Oh, did you change your diet?" And realistically, yeah, but there's so many things that you've got to do in order to change your diet. But no one really contemplates sort of like, you know, completely changing your mindset, the way of thinking, the fact that you're going to change the way you're eating, but you're going to go to bottled water. You're going to look at what you put in the bath. You're going to look at what you put on your skin. You know, all of these things, you know, what you're actually putting in your food, what nutrition and what isn't nutrition, you know, what is good for you, what is bad for you. So, you know, how exercise impacts on what you're doing. Then you've got different things, you know, of trauma-related events that might have manifested their way into your way of thinking. And all of these things contribute to the dis-ease that you're dealing with. And so it's okay to sort of like just turn around and say, I'm gonna change my diet, and I'm gonna eat this, I'm gonna eat fruit and veg, you know, simplify it. My investigation was that the health side of things after diabetes, you'd be looking at eliminating acidity from the body, which would be like a key point, which you'd look at first of all. So, and that's a massive contribution as to why you are in the position that you are at the moment.
That's right, because so many things that make you sick require an acid environment. If the environment is alkaline as it should be, it's very hard for anything that ails you to hang around.
Exactly. And one of the things that I wanted to point out as well was that from my own experience and from what I had to go through with regards to diabetes, as soon as I started eating and drinking the right sort of things and sort of like putting supplements and herbs into my body, what happened was is that the acidity has to come out. So under normal circumstances, you know where I'm going.
I do.
So basically, the acidity is either it's going to come out the normal areas, like the mouth and the bottom, and then it could come out of the pores, it could come out of your ears, it could be your eyes, it could be your throat. There could be all of these different elements that could come into play, which would make you think, oh, let's just stop here because the fruit and veg is making me feel like this. And it isn't. It's actually because it's, and this is my own interpretation, yeah? And so for me, personally, I've got an eye infection, okay? So I didn't go to the doctor. I went and seeked.
Well, here's the question. Was it an eye infection or was it an eye outfection?
Yeah, you know where I'm going. You know where I'm going.
Yeah.
but my point, what I was trying to sort of like get across was I had an eye infection. If I'd gone to the doctors, it might have contributed with something from a pharmaceutical company, which would have added to my issues of acidity. What I did, I went for a herbal remedy, and that herbal remedy, my eye repaired itself. Okay, so I was literally in my right eye, couldn't open it, could hardly see out the other one, completely red, literally shut down for 24 hours. The following day, it started to get better. The following day, it started to get better. Following day, after a week, after a couple of days, I'm opening my eye up. You know what I mean? It wasn't sensitive to the sun. The redness, it was still redness. I've obviously taken a herbal remedy and done that, and it went down. The reason being is because the eyes are connected to the liver. So the liver is detoxing, and the ingredients of acidity in the liver are coming out, and they come out on my eyes. So I ended up getting two eye infections like this, both times, exactly the same type of thing. Felt as though I had something in my eye, couldn't open it up. Swelling, you know, like marginal swelling, not like, you know, Mike Tyson swelling, but but like that type of swelling. And then you've got to make your way through it. Your body's fighting it for you. Yeah. So you've got to help it.
Yeah.
All the time that's happening, you're not putting any acidity into your body. So you're concentrating on like fruit and veg, or you're trying to eat. So if you're eating clean meat, you eat as clean as you can get it, and you're trying to keep all of your diet clean. Yeah. So that respect, you're not putting anything in that's going to make it even more acidic, but you'll get rid of the infection. Mm-hmm. So, and then another point, what happened, and I think this is quite common with regards to all of these jabs that people are having at the moment. I've seen a lot of things on social media where people are getting all sorts of rashes or abrasive problems, you know what I mean? Like under the skin, you know, all coming up in like blotches and stuff like that, you know what I mean? Raised or not raised or underneath the skin, there's obviously an issue. I've seen it, whether it's true or not on social media. but you can see it. And one of the things that did come up again at a slightly different time, and this is why I sort of like say you go through different phases as your body's recovering from what you've done from it over the years. I just did it normally. I just went out. I would have a beer. You know what I mean? You'd have a beer. You'd have a kebab. You'd have this, that, and the other. You know what I mean? You'd have your cheesecake. You know, and you do all of these things. And you don't really realize that, you know, your body. You can keep up with it and keep it off. You know, with exercise for a certain amount of time, but after a certain amount of time, and every human's different, so we don't know when that is. They get to a point where the body says, I'm not taking it no more. And all of a sudden there's a backlog of stuff that we don't process. So one of the things that come up for me as well was that I had all red blotches come all over my legs. So how was it, you know, obviously seeked herbal remedies again, you know, natural remedies. In actual fact, you've got, in my eyes, you need a good homeopath. If you get a homeopath that can work on you and work on your emotions, work on, you know, the traumas that you've gone through, you know, that type of thing, that they can really help. So at one point, I've ended up having all these blotches come out of my leg. Under normal circumstances, most people would get up and go to the doctor. I didn't. I just looked at it as my body was purging. We purged downwards. Yep. So I didn't react. I just kept it going. At the same time, I didn't feel ill. I was still exercising. I was still going to the gym. Over the course of sort of like a couple of weeks, the red blotches all went down. So you could see that whatever it was, my body had got rid of it. Mm-hmm. And then I also noticed as well is I regulated my weight. As I say, I am 12 stone at the moment. And at some time, if I sort of like do a couple of sort of like long distance runs, or, you know, sort of like a 10 miler or, you know, 12 miler or something like that, then obviously if I did that a couple of times, I would naturally just lose weight. You know what I mean? A couple of kg, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? 1 or 2 kg. So I've always bear that in mind. But mm-hmm. predominantly, I normally sort of like stay the same weight right now. I've been like that for at least a year, you know, exactly the same weight. If I've got any problems, if my body is stressing about something, I can put on half a stone.
Wow.
So if there's an issue, I normally can see it if I go, okay, right. So we're getting a bit heavier now. You know what I mean? So something's happening in your body.
It's almost like you're hanging on to something, isn't it?
It's like you're hanging on to something. It's a great, great, great way of describing, like you're hanging on to something. So, and moving on from, you know, like, so what is it you could be hanging on to? Mm-hmm. So I bring in the spiritual elements then. The spiritual side of things comes into play for me. And I'd be looking, is it a new moon? Is it a full moon? Okay. I'd be looking at these type of things, you know.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, Alex, because plants, you get different yields depending on whether you plant at various stages of the moon, and they're all water and we're all water, so it has to have a bearing on it.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. And the other thing as well is, as lockdown happened, I've been at a dentist for many years. I switched to another dentist when I was sort of like probably in my 30s, gone to this other dentist that was sort of like local. And they put in, just away from it, little story, you know, that happened. They put in a new filling. So I'd had silver fillings from when I was a kid. Mm. And then I was a bit on this side. I had problems with a wisdom tooth. They did it. And they was going to put this filling. So I went into the dentist and they said, we're going to do an x-ray. So the dentist, she did an x-ray. And I was chatting to her and her assistant. And she said, what we're going to do, we're going to put a temporary filling in. And she said, what I want you to do is come back in a couple of weeks' time, and then, or month's time, and then if everything's all right and it's sitting on the nerve all right, we'll take that out, we'll put the filling back in. So I said, okay. I didn't really know much about, at this particular time, about, you know, really looking after yourself and eating and what the damage of, you know, problems of the teeth, which was interesting, another podcast that you've done, you know what I mean, which
wasn't it just...
And so she did that. And then I ended up going back there a 3 weeks later or a month later or whenever it was. And the dentist that had taken did the filling, she'd left. Okay. But I did get to know that she was the daughter of the dentist that owned the practice. Okay. That's the only bit of information I had. So I've gone in there to say, you know, I'm now sitting down with another dentist. I said, yeah, you've got to take this one. It said, oh, we can't do that. They didn't want to see me because they said we're going to charge you again. I said, no, I said there's no charging me again. I said, like, you know, it's the dentist said that she's going to do this and it's all under the same charge. And because it was NHS, you know, like NHS, like those cheaper prices and that. So the dentist turned around and they said, no, we can't do it. So I said, oh, right, we have to charge again. So I said, okay, I'll leave it. So I come back home and I phoned up the dentist authority, which was based at King's College Hospital in London. And I spoke to them and I explained the situation, and King's College Hospital turned around and said, you're entitled to have your filling done again. And
it's my system.
And they said you're entitled to have your filling done again and at no cost. So I said, okay. She said, in actual fact, if they charge you, can you give us the details of the person that's telling you you need to be charged? So I went back up there and I've now phoned up and I ended up speaking to the manager of the practice. So I've now got to sit down. Mm-hmm. She's come in and said, you know, sit down. And she's saying, right, okay, this is how it is. You've had the filling done and we have to charge you. It's a second charge, so on and so on and so on. We're going to charge you more money for doing this. So I turned around and said, are you sure? So she said, yeah. So I said, well, I've got to be honest with you. I said, I came away and I phoned up the dentist authority, which is in King's College Hospital. And they've turned around and said to me that you need to be putting that filling back in and free of charge because I've already paid for it. So it was in your opinion, I needed to have this temporary filling. You needed to do the X-ray and have a look at it. And it was for your benefit, you know, in order for me mm-hmm. to have the best outcome. I said, and now you want to charge me for doing what you've, the extra work that you've caused. I said, so it doesn't really work out. So I said, and the dentist authority have said that if you don't do the filling, that I'm to go and phone them immediately and give them your name. And then she said, well, sit there for a minute. And then she came back in the room and said, oh, we'll do that for you now. So well, I ended up having the filling done and didn't pay for it. But I think I paid for it a bit later on because it was the only filling that I've had where within like a few years, it started to deteriorate. So just before all of lockdown, my teeth started to go. I've then phoned up this dentist again and said to him, any chance I come in? Oh, no, it's only emergency. I said, well, what do you class as emergency? So she said, well, you know, it's got to be life or death. I said, how many people come in and say that they're dying and need their teeth done, you know? And so he went, well, so I said, well, it doesn't really make sense. I said, what, you know, I'm in agony. I can't chew. I can't bite down. And so this opened up, you know what I mean? So I had to sort of like wait. In the end, I ended up going to a holistic dentist based down in Kent. And and ultimately got all my teeth done. But I didn't actually start to get the teeth done until must have been the first one was sort of like September, then December, mm-hmm. then it got put back January, and I've only just had all of them all done. So I've had all of my silver fillings taken out, replaced with mm-hmm. white fillings, mm-hmm. obviously to take this mercury element out of your teeth.
Isn't it bizarre, by the way, they think such a dangerous thing that's a toxic, hazardous waste that they can't do anything. It's safe when it's in your head, but when they come to take it out, they have to get the whole shebang going because it's that fucking dangerous again.
That was interesting. You know what I mean? That was really interesting. You know what I mean? That was what with everything that's going on. You know what I mean? I'm saying I'm not wearing a mask. I won't be coming in. No, you can't. Don't put that up at my head. I don't want that. Don't. You can check it on my arm. Don't have it on my head. You need to wear gloves. I'm not wearing gloves. Please tell me where pandemic says wear gloves. I said, look up the word pandemic and tell me if a fucking pair of gloves is going to sort it out. Right? So I have this constant battle. It goes on, you know, but we're winning, so it doesn't matter. So basically, what I had, obviously from March until sort of like September and December really, and January, where I had elements of teeth that were sort of like causing me problems, couldn't bite down on both sides. So, you know, it was really quite difficult at times. Mm. When I found out when the times were, so all of a sudden, my teeth would get really sensitive, really sort of like for biting into stuff. All of a sudden, you think, you know, 2 days ago, I could bite into a cucumber. Now, not only can I not bite into it, but the coldness of it is affecting me. Mm-hmm. Couldn't really work it out. Full moon, new moon, every time it was building up. So, you know, 1 and 2 days out from a new moon, 1 and 2 days after the new moon, You'd have different things that were coming up. So then it sort of like begs the question is, you know, did I have the eye infection over a new moon? Did I have the blotches coming up on my leg? Do we transition through different periods of time? Is it, you know, does it point towards like astrology? Does the astrology side of things come into play? You know what I mean? Mm. Does your star sign come into it? Have you got weaknesses? Have you got strengths from your star sign? And so if you look into those type of areas, all of a sudden it opens the door up for lots of different other alternative explanations.
Mm.
So obviously that came into play. And then I also as well was meditation. I use meditation for stress levels, you know, to actually have, you know, half hour, you know, if you can half hour, 3 or 4 times a week, you know what I mean? You can meditate just before you go to bed. You can meditate lying down, sitting up, you know, legs crossed, legs uncrossed, you know, go to people, find out information, read books, watch podcasts, you know, get in touch with people that, in all different areas that can show you all different things. So from a meditation perspective, self-taught, you know, not self-taught, I got shown how to meditate first of all. And then it just grew from there, you know, just, you know, and your meditation grows as well. And then all of a sudden you realistically figure out what is meditation all about. And for me, it's breathing. You know, it's the ability to let go of everything in your mind, let go of all of the stress and drama that's going on in the outside world. And, you know, I forget his name, Eckhart Tolle. You know, the power of now, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I try and think to myself, right, I'm in it now, from now. And then there'll be a couple of things that come into your mind. You just bat them off.
Yeah.
And then now.
Yeah.
And at the same time, breathe in, breathe out. And all of a sudden, you're off. Yeah. You don't know where you are. You know what I mean? You're gone. And then it's as if you're floating.
Oh, that gone thing, just to describe it, it's you're very much aware of everything, but you have no awareness of this. I find the physical body kind of melts away.
Mm.
And I'm aware of everything, but I'm not aware of this anymore. I don't feel anything from this.
No, it's really weird. And the other thing as well is I do breathing exercises. So I would do like a breathing exercise before I meditate, but the breathing exercise is a form of meditation anyway. And then I'd use the meditation to just give me the answers. You know what I mean? Just let it take me. Look, where's it going to take me? All of a sudden, you're thinking about, you know, one particular person or one particular situation. It just appears in your head, and then but in a subtle, slow way, and maybe the answer will be there, or maybe it won't, or you don't know where it's going to take you. Sometimes it's just colours. You know what I mean? Like you can see all the chakra colours. If you've got deeper issues, they'll come out. You'll see it. The colours will be there. You know what I mean? And well, if you can do your information, find out information on the colours, go to someone that can explain all of these things to you. You know what I mean? Sit down and take your time. You'll find out all sorts of information. So these are just a couple of things that are included in just putting yourself back together again in order to beat this ease.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's brilliant. That's really helpful. It's an interesting thing. The meditation I find is really powerful, and I think maybe some people can relate to this, that if you're trying to figure something out, you leave it alone and the answer comes to you when you're having a shower, when you're having a walk, when you're reading a book, it'll pop in your head. So the purpose of the meditation, in my experience, the answers come, they're like the caress of a breeze that you just notice, or a whiff of perfume from someone, just a very, what was that? Or a little noise you hear. You don't get that when you're busy in your head, you're doing stuff, you're distracted by the TV, you're distracted by what's going on, you're replaying stuff. You've got to find that quiet spot. And that's when the intuition, the information, it can just flow through and you can hear it because it's quiet, it's delicate, it's not loud.
Totally agree. My thing is this: is I would never have known about this. I was shown. You know what I mean? I was shown a door to this, and I walked through it. And then I dictated where I was going to go. You know, someone showed me it, and I thought, okay, like, you know, what is this all about? You know what I mean? Like, you know, at first you'll meditate, you'll sit there, and you think, you know, what's happening? And I say to people, you know, I speak to people about meditation. They go, I shut my eyes, and I can't. I said, you've got to concentrate. You've got to really just sort of like just let it go, let it flow, slow it down until realistically all you're doing is breathing, you know. So I sometimes use like Om chanting for meditation.
You know why that's really interesting? If we can just take a little sidestep, so park that thought. Your sinuses in your head are like resonating chambers.
Mm.
And I think they're a really important connection to the higher realms.
Yeah.
So when you're doing that, that chanting creates a resonance in your head.
Yeah.
And that vibration does things. I'm sure it does. But I can't find any evidence of it, but I'm sure that chant makes a difference.
I would definitely agree. Yeah. I tend to more listen to it. But I would use, the Om chant, the length, the duration of it, to breathe in and out.
Yeah.
And that is what does something. This breath work is something that if you look at Wim Hof, you know what I mean? I do Wim Hof breathing, yeah?
Yeah, I do too. But it's so important, Alex, because we are breatharian.
Yeah.
I know people hear that sometimes. Well, you can't just live on breathing. Well, there is plenty of people that apparently can. But if we ignore that for now, you can go without water for days. You can go without food for months. You can't go without breathing. Breathing is everything. It is life.
You know,
it's your connection to everything. And I think that's why it's so important to pay attention, first of all, to learn how to breathe properly.
Yeah. And probably, you know, realistically, we don't get taught anything like what we're discussing at the moment. I never knew anything about this at school. There was, nope. You know, no one that I really ever worked with ever mentioned this. And you would have a tendency just to disregard it. You know, as I say, if someone talks about diabetes, they go, oh, you change your diet, and it's just as if, you know, you've had three salads and everything was all right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, there was some sort of like key things. And so realistically, when you go into this other holistic environment and you open yourself up to this, there are people out there that are willing to help. You know what I mean? They're willing to dedicate their time. They've learned different elements, different professions, and different ways of helping people. Which isn't really in the mainstream media. You know what I mean? I mean, it's only now that we see Wim Hof on, you know, with Holly and Philip, you know what I mean, doing a little program there, you know, and I've seen him live. I saw him in Iceland. It was one of the best things I've ever been on. It was unbelievable. That man is amazing, you know, and what he's, you know, what the words that he spreads when you're seeing him live aren't the words that are on the mainstream media. It's all simmered down. It's just, you know, it's just the wrapping. It's just the wrapping on the outside. If you want to have a look at the present, you should go through the wrapping and then go and open up the present and see what's inside, because you're going to see a whole different thing. That man is working with people and and healing them in so many different ways.
But breathing again makes sense, because it's the biggest detox thing. You're taking stuff in and then you're pushing poison straight from your body back out with your breath.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I read a story about a coyote, which I'll share. When they poison a coyote, if the coyote realizes it's been poisoned quick enough, it takes off and runs as hard as it can because it can't vomit the poison out. It can't poop it out. But what it can do is it can cleanse its blood by rapid breathing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it'll survive the poisoning.
That's it.
We are very much capable of doing the same thing, which, by the way, when you put a mask on to prevent the good stuff coming in and keep the bad stuff from coming out, you are causing problems doing that.
No, it's I totally, you know, as I say, there's so many things that we just don't know, you know, we're never told it. We're never taught this way, you know. It's like anything. We have to sort of like establish, you know, unless you go and do study certain things, you're only taught certain things. We're never really told about these. So, yeah, you know, my point was is just to sort of like say to people is that if, you know, if you're looking at working through sort of like trauma of your life, you know, relationship or hardship or sort of like financial woe, you know, these things that sort of like can come on top of you, that, you know, you can have problems with family, you know, these type of things, they sit with you for a long period of time. And if they sit with you, they manifest.
Yeah. Well, did you catch the bit in the Jerry Tennant stuff where stuff like that is an electromagnetic field which gets stored around the nerves and affects the voltage, which causes disease?
Yeah, exactly. That. And again, the frequency side of things, you know, the resonating in your body, you know, obviously the emotional side of thing, it's got a frequency attached to it. We hold on to it. It manifests. It's to me, it seems obvious, you know. You try and tell someone that, and you'd have to go bit by bit by bit by bit, you know what I mean? Try and open it up. So, you know, there's people out there that can help you with sort of like the trauma side of things. And my suggestion would be to sort of like find a therapy that you like, that you resonate with. Find a person that you like, can resonate with. And then you're, you know, have a gut reaction about, you know, a gut intuition about the person that you're speaking to or you're looking for information from. And you'll get the most benefit from that person then as well. You'll get the benefit, you know, of information and, you know, necessary healing, you know, and moving forward. You know, one of my friends, prime example, absolutely fantastic osteopath, Anton, and you know, and he's a coach as well. So he can you know, physically deal with someone and help them emotionally release an issue. You know, that you'd never really think that, would you? You'd never really think that, you know, that this is what you could, this is what could be done. This is what could, you'd never think that your lower back, it could be to do with the fact that you're chasing money.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you don't feel supported.
You don't feel the support, you know? And so these are the things that the everyday person probably doesn't realize that they're going about, and the back's hurting again, the back's hurting again. But if you change your mindset, then ultimately you can release those different elements and move forward. So yeah, it's just like from a homeopathic perspective, and you know, and then looking at sort of like people for, you know, for mindset, changing your mindset. And there's all different ways that you can change your mindset through, you know, NLP, talking to someone, or hypnotherapy. You know, there's so many different avenues that you can go down and to release that. I mean, I've actually, you know, at one point when I actually many years ago, I injured my knee playing football, and I had to have a cartilage implant. And I was about 28 at the time. And, you know, I just couldn't walk on it. I was having all sorts of problems. And it was really hard, you know, because from an energy perspective, you're wiped out because your knee's gone. You're trying to put it back. But ultimately, you have to sort of like find a way of getting around what the issue is and having the mindset to change what you're going to do, you know what I mean, to start getting on top of it, you know. So after that injury, I sort of like noticed that I was quite angry, you know, quite angry because I couldn't move like I did do before. Mm. It took a long time. I had to wait a year before it sort of like come back. Mm. You know, I was probably, you know, a year and a half before I could sort of like do, you know, the sort of exercise I was doing before. And so that anger builds up. And in the end, I actually went to a hypnotist and he took me on this, like, literally, hypnotism isn't what, you know, people think where they go, you know, one, two, three, you know, and you're back in the room. And, you know, it's you. He guides you and you go on this journey to, you know, in your subconscious to actually find out where the issue was, you know, where they will find it. It will come. Your subconscious will bring that to the surface because that's the time when you're going to do it. And he took me on this sort of like journey, which was unbelievable. And I come out of there and I thought, God, my shoulders are just, I don't feel like I did before. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, 2 hours ago, I felt one way and I come out and I felt completely different. And so you see a bit of an improvement. And then if you was to go on that sort, so most people would stop there. But if you was to go and take that further and further and further, you would actually heal more and heal more, let go, let go, let go. And you'd get yourself in a much better position and probably not really come across the disease element, you know?
Yeah. No, I think that's absolutely right. And that strikes me. That's what our journey about here is. It's to release and to let go, to forgive, to put right.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why I say there's so many elements that come in other than just changing your diet. You know, you've got to – it just seems so – the diet thing is the easy part. That's what I'm trying to say is, you know, as I've said before – the way that you think affects the way that you feel. And realistically, food and movement just follow. So if you can, you know, incorporate, you know, a healthy lifestyle, including nutrition and walking, running, workouts and stuff like that, incorporating into your life, they will impact the way that you think. And that's the first thing, the immediate think. Is the ego of, is almost the opposite of how you feel. You know what I mean? It's the, not the opposite, it's the other string. It's got the other end of the string, you know? So you pull one end and it's going to affect the other. So
that's right.
It's just keeping the balance, you know, keeping up, you know, if you get in balance and you can, you will have stressful times, you know what I mean?
Of course. Yeah. I was talking to someone the other day because he said, oh, you know, you've got it all worked out. And I was like, no, I don't. Far from it. In fact, the further along the path I go, the more I realize I know nothing about anything.
Yeah.
But I am working it out and I am working with it. And I know enough about me and how things work now to handle things when they come up to say, right, what's actually sat behind that and go and address that issue.
Yeah.
And then the health problem or the confusion or the emotional response naturally settles down because I've worked out what trick, right, there's the trigger over there. And it's never what you think. It's miles away sometimes. You think, okay, I'll deal with that. And so that's really what the journey's been about for me. It's about that constant, well, I'm going to let go of that now. I need to forgive that now.
Yeah, yeah. And that, I totally agree. And the funny thing is when you say, you know, that you know nothing, I would turn around and go, well, I think you know a fair bit. But I totally agree because, you know, I've had to learn so much in a realistically a short period of time. And if I was to speak to someone, they turn around and say, well, you've got a lot of knowledge. And I'm sitting there thinking, no, I don't even know.
That's what it is.
You know, I've barely read books. You know what I mean? I think all I read up until about sort of like probably about 4 or 5 years ago, I think I'd read Inspector Frost and Condor Man. That was about it.
Okay.
that was my book intake. And but now
I still read now. I probably still read 2 or 3 books a week even now.
Really?
Yeah, there are some times where I read. I don't fly anymore, but when I used to fly a lot when I was younger, on a long flight like to Japan, I'd take 4 or 5 books with me and just read them the whole way. I wouldn't watch films. I'd just read and read and read and read and read.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah. It's part, you know, as I say, is this learning element that we, you know, we're guided towards sort of like the TV. And this is, you know, moving on to the situation we're in at the moment with people that are realistically living in fear, you know, with everything that's happening.
Yeah. Well, fear is just lack of knowledge. Exactly.
And that is exactly it. And I think that where all of the elements that we've discussed are part of this, I would say, like a different type of sort of like intuition or mechanism that makes you think in a different way. You know, you just, it makes you sort of like, okay, let's have a look at this. Your reaction would be completely different because you're not driven by you know, something that's happened. You know, you're not gonna, the fight or flight. You know, most people go into that fight mode straight away because they've seen something on a TV. It says, oh, you've got to do this and you've got to do that. Whereas I'm looking at it and going, I actually look at the Three Stooges coming up and telling you, standing behind the, you know, let's clap the NHS, let's do this, that and the other, and let's socially distance. Because we've all seen when the camera goes off, they're all having a group hug. But, you know, but when they're actually saying, one of the first things I did is I got the remote control, I turned it down and I looked at the TV and I said to myself, do I trust these three? There was nothing about their body language that was telling me they're really trying to get a point across that's going to help people, you know? And I think that the only message that they got across was that we're going to install issues and fear and, you know, and we're not going to give you any resolve. Yeah. You know what I mean? There is no answers. But I think it's sort of like,
in other words, they're going to torture people.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a form of torture coming out of the TV. So yeah, that's where we're at at the moment. But you know, we're as we've mentioned before, we're up against a bit of a battle, and it has been like that for, you know, since this all kicked off. And you know, you're walking around, you know, park or. And you bump into people and then you know, how do you feel about coronavirus and all that? And you can see that they're a little bit, you know, concerned about it. You know, I mean, probably made an effort to sort of like get out, you know, how do you feel? And you, all of a sudden you sort of like turn around and say, well, I don't really believe it. You know, I don't think it's as infectious as what they're saying. And we've got this, you know, the statistics are there that it's a 99.3 or 99.7%, you know, recovery rate, and then you get that little look where they just sort of like switch off,
stand by,
and you think, stand by, get the old fucking remote control out like that, boom, and they're on standby for a little while, and then you've got a choice. Then, but shall I carry on talking, or shall I just, you know, shall I come back in half hour, you know, or give it, you're back in the room. But it is down to what people are having put in front of them on the TV, and, you know, and I've seen it close hand, you know. It's, you can't we're slowly getting there, but it's interesting what's coming about, you know. People saying about having the jab, and I said, well, I don't really want to have an experimental jab. Oh, it's not experimental. I think you'll find it is. You know what I mean? I think that there could be potentially problems with insurance or issues. Have you spoken to your insurance company to say, are you still covered? You know? And no, they haven't. No, because the government, they would never do that to people.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Have you got the same government I've got?
They never do that. No, it's a different government. They've got shorts and T-shirts on where we live. You know what I mean? Yeah, they're in the sun. Yeah, it's completely different world here. But this is it's strange, people's interpretation. But when you look into it, it's not backed up by anything. It's just a TV. But if you turn around and say to people, "Well, I've researched it. I've had a look at it, and you know, this is no. You've just researched it. You've been on Google and you've had a look, and that you know nothing. You don't believe those conspiracy theories." And I'm all right, okay. I said, you know, everything I've told you is fact. Yeah. I said, but you know, Princess Di being alive, that's a conspiracy. But Elvis being alive, that's a conspiracy theory. I said, but if you go and look on the government website, on the 19th of March, they turned around and said that COVID-19 or coronavirus was no longer considered an infectious...
Highly contagious infectious disease.
Highly contagious infectious yeah. disease on the 19th. I said, and 5 days later, they locked us down. I said, and you did what you told, and I didn't.
Oh, you're right. It's, but some people will look at the sales brochure and believe everything that's in it. And the salesman. Thinly disguised as the people stood on the TV.
Yeah. So it's interesting. You know, it is. But I think more and more people are waking up. I think that not rapidly. And I think there is an element of people that that might conform to everything that's going on. But underneath, they don't like it. You know what I mean? And they're finding out information. So I just think we just got to wait until the day comes where something comes on a TV and actually sort of like shocks people.
Yeah, it can't be far off because there's all sorts of interesting information and statistics that are quite shocking coming out now.
Mm.
And at some point, I think people will turn around and grab the pitchforks and go on the hunt.
That sounds so old school, didn't it? The old pitchforks.
Nothing wrong with that, brother.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean?
Get someone turn up here with a pitchfork, it'd get my attention.
Yeah. Maybe that's what the protests need. You know what I mean? When they go on these protests, you see them all on the TV. They've made pitchforks and lanterns and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. Axes.
That might make a difference, you know? It's interesting with what's going on.
That was another really good chat.
How do you see it?
Same as you.
Yeah.
Same as you. I'm doing what I can do. I'm creating fresh content. I'm recycling old content into fresh little bits that you can. Because one of the reasons I was doing the soundbite thing was I thought it would make a lot of sense to. A lot of people aren't going to spend an hour listening to a chat like this, as an example. But they might listen to a couple of minutes or a 5 minute segment that's kind of interesting that would lead them to say, actually, you know what? I will go and listen to the rest of that because that sounds good. Or that 5 minute segment's got some good information. So I've already marked in my head, there's 4 or 5 bits in this I can pull into little short bits that can be shared with people.
You
know, so that's what I'm trying to think about doing is how can I then repackage this so that we've got a whole load of information here, but you've got these little kind of info bombs that we can keep dropping as well on people.
As I say, I think, you know, what you're doing, getting a message out to people is really good. And the content that you've got going out is really valuable. And I think that, you know, it's just like when I first saw like Wim Hof, and, you know, my question was why has he not got his own TV program? Why is that? Because, you know, He takes people up mountains and they go up there with an issue. They come back without the issue. You know, if you look at his life, what he did.
Fresh, clean air.
Fresh, clean air, you know, and definitely major part.
By the way, for people who don't know, he's run a marathon in a desert without water. He's climbed. Is it Everest? He's climbed in shorts, bare feet.
Yeah. But he had to, from what I can see, he had to put a pair of shoes on. You know what I mean? Or, you know, feet and something on his feet. But in a pair of shoes.
Yeah, he's worth having a look at because it shows you what the body is really capable of with a little bit of training.
What he's capable of.
And with the right the right raw materials. If you had fresh, clean water with nothing in it, and you had fresh, clean food with no toxins in it at all, and you had access to fresh, clean air, which is why people in the mountains live way longer than people down on the coast, and yet people head to the coast for their retirement. You want to head up into the hills and breathe the cold air and work your lungs. And that's the real key.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it makes a big difference. It's a huge difference. And one of the other things I've seen on a couple of the, Claudia, was the distilled water. So what would be the benefits of that?
Well, I mean, there's loads. Number one is the water's got lots of shit in it. Doesn't matter where you are, it's got shit in it. Evidence when you first get your distiller and you look inside it and go, oh my God, I've been drinking that, because it was all in suspension. That's number one, is you're not constantly putting more and more toxins in. And what your body seems to do is that you're able to process some toxins out, not all of them. But what it can do, if it can't get them out because they're coming in too quick, it'll store them somewhere for safekeeping until it can get to them later on. But if you've got this never-ending toxic insult coming in the end, it'll build up to the point where you start to notice there's a problem. Now, the distilled water's got a really strong negative charge, and it's the best solvent there is. So basically, it starts to dissolve and pull all that shit back out of your system.
That's
really one of them. You can drink rainwater. If you can get clean rainwater, certainly the air would be clean anyway. If it had rained for probably, I suppose, 10, 12 minutes, it would have cleaned enough of the junk out of the air. The next set of rainwater should actually be in good order for you. You know,
yeah. I mean,
there's other distilled waters in fruits and veggies, for example, distilled waters in urine. It depends where you want to go. But the distilled water, I think, is absolutely critical. And from the feedback I've had from people and the books I've read and the discussions I've had with people that have started to drink it, the health benefits come so quick. It's unbelievable. I hear people within days saying they feel different.
Yeah. Yeah.
And certainly within months, you are massively different. I look at videos of me and my skin as an example, and it looks very different now than it did a year ago. But I'm clearly a year older.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I wouldn't be without it. In fact, I bought a second distiller, which I have in the garage as a backup in case anything happens to the first one.
Yeah.
I've also got like 40 odd liters stored in the garage as well. that I constantly rotate, so you know, if anything goes wrong, I've got a supply of that, and I've got a 200 liter barrel of rainwater out the back which I can drink.
Right,
water and air, I think, are the most important things. I can do without food, you know. I mean, I do eat, but I don't eat much anymore. I'm now fasting probably 22 hours a day, and I feel better for that than I did when I was fasting, wasn't fasting, and then when I was fasting 12 hours. The more I fasted, the better I feel. But certainly, the distilled water, I think, is massively critical to people. If they were going to change just one thing, drink distilled water, and a lot of it, not a little bit. You want to be drinking a lot. I'm still drinking probably about 4 liters a day. At one point, I was drinking near a six.
Yeah, because with regards to that, would the pH level of the water be higher?
It is higher, yeah. It is higher. Yeah. It's also higher because what you really want to do is you want to put it into like a glass container. You want to leave that exposed with the lid off to the air and to the sunlight and to the moonlight, so that it's getting what it would have if it was outside. That helps it. But I don't think the pH of the water is that much of an issue. If you're getting the intake of the food and the fruit and the vegetables right, I think you're fine. In fact, I do think that these really highly alkaline waters might be causing other problems to do with not so much digestion, but if they're altering the pH of the stomach a lot, it could cause problems there as well.
Yeah, because I just wondered, just going back to the voltage information with that.
I checked my pH and I thought, well, I'll check it now. I'll just drink, because I still have a little bit of bicarb every morning. But I checked my pH during the course of the day, and it's never really, it sits around between 7 and 7.5. And I drink a lot of distilled water. So I'm like, well, it can't be doing much. It can't be altering much in me. It's a bit like, you know, if you eat lemons, they're very acidic, but they go very alkaline in your system.
Yeah. That's brilliant. Yeah. Very good.
Cool. Anything else you'd like to discuss?
No. I think been really good. Yeah. Interesting.
Well, that's brilliant. Thank you very much. I really enjoyed that. And also, I'm looking forward to our discussion with Tony on Wednesday, because I think that'll be very exciting as well.
Yeah, that'd be really good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, it'd be very interesting to speak with Tony as well, you know, and get a few ideas with regards to type 1 and diabetes from him as well. You know
what I mean? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that, I think that'll be primarily focused around the diet. But it, because you're keeping your numbers and you're keeping records of everything, I think that that would be, we'll do that. And we'll do a couple of follow-ups behind it as well, just to kind of get feedback and see where it takes you.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. No, that's brilliant. Yeah.
All right, buddy.
Excellent. Adrian, great to see you again.
Thanks, mate.
See you later.
Likewise, pal. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Ta-da, mate. Bye-bye.